Well, folks, before the show starts, here's a reminder that this year's tax deadline is just around the corner, and there's no need to panic. And get in touch with a tax professional in your area through our endorsed local providers. Check out stewardship.com and click on ELP for more information.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello and greetings from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. I pray this broadcast is finding you well today. We're very excited about a fantastic show. And hey, listen, why do we know it's going to be great? Because you make it great. This is your show, so call in and share your question or your praise. This has been a fantastic month so far. I started the month out in Dallas, visiting several of you, and then headed to South Dakota to preach at an amazing church called Embrace Church. And it was ridiculous. It was amazing. A life-giving church. I hope you are attending a life-giving church because it really refreshed me in a powerful way. And then we just wrapped up a stewardship summit here in Nashville with about, 40 or 50 of the most respected church leaders in America. And that was such a treat. Talking all about leadership and guess what else? Talking about stewardship. That's right. We're talking about stewardship. We're reclaiming stewardship and doing it every way that we can, every way possible. And we ain't playing around. And either are you. According to social media, you guys are paying off debt like crazy, and saving like crazy, and investing like crazy, and giving like crazy. You guys are very, very inspiring. Let's get our show started. You can call in at 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. And of course, we will chat when you call in. Remember, the call volume is high. So if you don't get into the show, feel free to leave a voicemail and our fabulous team will try to line something up in the future. While you're calling in, I do want to remind you that we are here and we're in the middle of tax season. You have about a month left, and there are tax professionals in your area waiting to help you with your taxes. All you have to do is go to stewardship.com, click on Find an ELP, and those are our trusted, endorsed local providers, and you can get in touch with someone that can help you finish your taxes before the deadline. Not after. First call is coming in from Glendale, Arizona. This is John. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Okay. Well, we've been doing the Dave Ramsey thing now for about 5-6 years and just got debt-free except for the house.
Good job.
Yes. But my car just took a dump on me, and we don't quite have enough money to pay for our car.
Okay.
So we've got probably about, if I pulled everything out of envelopes that, you know, it's not necessary, I got about $6,000 to work with.
Okay.
I do woodworking. I do need a truck, and vehicles, used vehicles are, I'm looking at about $20,000 for a used truck for my family. So I'm trying to figure out what to do. Do I go back into debt? Do I take another option?
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about this. It's a current truck that is going south. What exactly is, what's the issues that you're experiencing?
It is, they're saying it's the, that needs a new motor. I think they're saying that's the crank bearings are going out on it, and it just won't hold oil pressure.
How old is this car?
It's a 03.
Okay. Wow. That's wild. Have you gotten a second opinion or anything?
No, it's still at the dealership. This just happened.
Okay. Well, I would strongly encourage you getting a second opinion. What does fixing it look like? What does that cost?
About $5,000 to $6,000.
Okay.
A new motor.
And so a truck is the only option, not a car, it's gotta be a truck.
I guess I can make do with the car. It's just a little difficult. I got teenage boys, you know, running around.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I do woodworking, carry things in the truck a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be shocked if $20,000 is the cheapest that you can do this. I would strongly recommend, doing this off Craigslist. I personally just bought two cars off of Craigslist that I have a family of five. They're not teenagers, but I do have five. And two SUVs. I bought an 06, 05 or 06 Lincoln Navigator with like well over 100,000 miles that is running great still 2 years later, and for about $12,500. And then I bought a 05 or 06, I forget the years, but 05 Jeep Cherokee with over 100,000 miles that's still running great a couple years later, and that was $9,000. So you don't have to pay $20,000. So you definitely don't want to go
looking for about 2-year-old car. I figured that was the range where the price dropped dramatically, but it sounds like it'll go even more. I was worried about buying another 100,000 mile car.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, and I think that's a good thing to talk about here on the air, is what used to be 100,000 miles was like, oh no, you better get rid of that thing quick. That's changing. They're making cars better now. And I've got two roughly 2005s, and they're great. There's some little nuances, some things that bother me that they, got these little, like handles are falling off and stuff. It's kind of annoying, but I've got my goals. I know where I'm headed, and it's more important for me to hit my goals than to have all my buttons working perfectly in my car. So I would just, strongly recommend you to look around a little bit more, some more options. However, did you say that you still have some debt?
No.
Okay, so you're debt free. Okay, I thought for some reason.
Yeah, we're debt free. Okay. How we did it before, I don't know, but our kids are in a Christian private school, which is very expensive, and I'm looking at all the envelopes and stuff, and I don't even know how we did it before, but we did it. I guess it was due to a lot of overtime and everything.
Yeah,
and we budget with no overtime, so a lot of stuff got knocked out.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, getting a used motorcycle for about $6,000, mm-hmm. and roughing it that way until I can save up, but we're probably still looking at a couple of years, and I live in Arizona, which, our summers hit 115, 120, which is pretty hot for a motorcycle.
Yeah, with an 03, I think if you can, put $5,000 into that truck and get another 2 years out of it, it would be worth it. So you got to ask yourself if that's going to happen. If you can get two more years out of it. If not, save up a little bit longer and see if you can get a truck for $10,000 or $12,000. It's not going to be pretty, but it'll get the work. It'll get the work done. But please, I'm begging you, don't go back into debt. Not because I told you to, but the Bible's very clear about this, and He does not want you to go back in debt.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Bye bye. Got a praise email here from Talisha. This will really encourage y'all. Check this out. My husband and I want to thank you for your guidance. We paid off, check this out, over $42,000 on a student loan and a car payment. Now on to baby step 3. May God bless you. I love that. Way to go, Talisha. That's cool. That's awesome. That has to feel incredible. And folks, when that kind of stuff happens, we can't take that lightly. God has worked through you in a powerful way. He's given you the discipline, and He's given you the perseverance to be able to do that. That's not something that comes from our flesh. You walked out to that mailbox every day and mailed that check. You're the one that, or every month, and you're the one that clicked that mouse and paid that payment. And we have got to give God glory. Remember, the definition of stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory. Psalm 115:1 says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be given glory on account of your gracious love and faithfulness. So, man, Talisha, way to go. And make sure that you are shouting His name from the rooftops, because He has worked through you. And now you and your family are in an incredible position to do some pretty cool things for the kingdom of God. Folks, it's things like that. It's going to take a lot to get me in a bad mood after that one. I mean, that gets me pretty jazzed. By the way, speaking of moods and speaking of attitudes, I got to tell you, don't underestimate the importance of a great attitude. If you think about the people in your life that you respect and look up to the most and enjoy being around, they are people that have a good attitude. So wherever you're at today, come on, turn that frown upside down, and let's have a good attitude. This next call coming in from Oklahoma. This is Lisa. Lisa, how are you?
I'm great, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm honored. How can I help you?
I want to make sure that I'm proceeding in the wisest way.
Okay.
I owe about $72,000 on my home.
Okay.
And I'm 65 and single. So I have started drawing my Social Security, and I also have a teacher retirement, a rent house income, and I also have a part-time job. So I'm not really concerned about my income, but I want to pay my house off. I have, I'm going to be getting about $50,000 as an inheritance. And so I have a $25,000, kind of savings account that's sort of my car account, which I'm not really going to have to use for a few years. And I also have about $30,000 in a mutual fund that I could pull out without penalty. So by doing that, combining the inheritance with one of those two funds, I could pay my house off. And so my question to you is, which one do you think that you would pull out to combine with the inheritance to pay off the house? Which I guess I'm pretty sure that you would say, yes, pay off the house.
Mm-hmm. And did I hear that you had a rental home too?
I do. It just brings in about $460 a month.
And it's paid off?
Yes. I'm totally debt-free except for the house.
Way to go.
Thanks to Financial Peace University and Total Money Makeover. And
I love it.
I've been doing that for about 10 years.
That is great. I love it. Very, very cool. Okay. So I think what I would do is I would pull the what is your monthly income?
I have this all written down. It is about $3,900 to $4,000.
I would like you to leave $9,000 in that savings account, and that would mean that you'd pull $16,000.
And can I just argue with you a little bit? The only reason why I wondered if I'm really that worried about that is because my income is set. I mean, even if I get sick or anything, I'm still going to have that income coming, except for the rent house.
Okay, so you're saying
$35,000, $65,000 is set.
So you're saying that you're a little bit less risky, have less
exactly.
risk. Okay. Well, let's say that we shave that down to about $6,000. I still don't want you below that. That leaves you 19. So you got 19 plus 50 puts you at 69. Are those mutual funds all in one? Is it one block of 30, or is it in smaller blocks?
I think I could pull out just parts of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I would do. I'd leave $6,000 in the savings. I'd go with a $50,000 with the inheritance, $16,000 from the savings account, and then pull the rest in the mutual funds. And the reason why I'm doing savings before mutual funds is just because of where the market is right now. You don't want to be pulling when it's low, and it's relatively low in the last 52-week cycle. That's if it was at a high, then I probably wouldn't care. But I just know it's going to bounce back, and it's just not the right time. And folks, all you listening in, this is a very unique scenario. We think long-term with mutual funds, long-term. This is somebody who's calling in. Lisa's calling in. She's already retired. She's in a different phase. So I don't want you all going to pull your mutual funds.
Right. And there's no penalty on these.
Right.
If there was any that I were going to pull that was going to be penalty, I wouldn't do it. I would
exactly.
just keep paying away.
Yep.
But, so in other words, dig up as much money as I can without pulling any out of the mutual fund then.
Exactly.
Except for just a little cushion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And here's the deal. Also, when it comes to your investing too, I would make sure that you're continuing to invest, especially right now.
Okay.
Keep putting money in because you got another 30 plus years in you. And so you want to take advantage of all the mutual funds right now are on sale. So try to set a budget for $2,800 or $3,000 or something like that. And, be investing on sale right now.
Well, this is going to free up about nearly $1,000 for me a month.
Exactly.
And so I'm already planning to take a big portion of that and just put it right back, maybe back into, maybe split that between savings and investing.
Good.
So
good. I love it.
All right.
Lisa. Thank you so much for the call.
Throw that by you.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, we are right in the middle of tax season. Are we, have you ever asked the question, are we biblically supposed to pay taxes? We talk about taxes a lot on here, and we want to make sure that we're in a good, we know that we've got the right people that can help us with our taxes. But biblically speaking, are we supposed to pay taxes? I wonder what you're thinking right now. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 17 through 21, it says the Pharisees asked Jesus a question. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he asked them, whose portrait is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. And then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. In full agreement, the Apostle Paul taught, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And that's quoting Romans 13, 6 and 7. So yes, we are supposed to pay taxes, and you're like, pay taxes, and you're like, oh, I just don't want to. Well, it doesn't really matter. we are enjoying parks, and we're enjoying roads, and we're enjoying a lot of things that our taxes pay for. Is there maybe some conflict of interest with some of the governmental leaders? Probably. Will we spend the money maybe a little bit differently? Probably. But biblically speaking, we need to be paying our taxes. And of course, that tax deadline is on Monday, April 18th, and that's right around the corner. And before you rush out and purchase a do-it-yourself tax software or pay one of those big box tax companies to have some random person file your taxes, stop and consider your options. Don't let a deadline force you to leave something as important as your taxes up for chance. You deserve better. You deserve to work with a certified, licensed tax pro that has the heart of a teacher and wants to help you get your full refund. Our endorsed local providers, our ELPs, our tax experts in your area who will prepare and file your taxes and will work hard to make sure that you get every deduction that you deserve and that you never overpay the IRS. They'll help you figure out the right amount to take from each paycheck in the future so that you keep your hard-earned money and not give the government a loan all year. It's not too late to get connected with an ELP. Go to stewardship.com, click Find an ELP to schedule an appointment with a local tax expert that you can trust. Again, we are taking your calls here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship at 866-357-3283. And of course, you can email in as well.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. You can email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com with your questions or your success stories at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's get back to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
And it looks like Vicki is calling in from Denver, Colorado. Vicki, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
Well, I was just wondering, my husband and I would like to retire next year. My husband's 58 and I'm 57.
Okay.
And we will have our first mortgage on our primary home paid off in December. And we have two rentals. And we were wondering if we should sell our rentals or keep our rentals to produce income later in retirement or what.
That's a very good question. There's a lot of variables, so maybe we can work through that a little bit. First of all, do you have any debt?
No, we do not. Just our home. We own a condo and a townhome, and one of the condos, we have a HELOC, which is tied to our home.
Okay, but no consumer debt. Yeah.
No consumer debt, no.
How much are each one of the homes?
One of the condos is worth $130,000, and we owe $98,000.
Okay.
And the townhome is worth $150,000, and we owe $74,000.
Okay.
And we are at a break-even status with renting those out.
And your primary, how much is it worth and how much do you owe?
Our primary is worth $320,000, and we owe about $4,000 on the first. And that HELOC that's on there for the condo, we owe, like I said, $98,000.
All right. And are you investing? Do you have any kind of investments at all that are diversified that aren't in real estate?
My husband has worked for the Postal Service for about 38 years, and he has a thrift savings plan along with his retirement, and we only have about $50,000 in that. His retirement income, our retirement income combined will be about $78,000.
If you didn't own those rental homes right now,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
would you go buy them?
If we thought it was a good investment.
Do you think it's a good investment?
The one that we have, the condo, is actually our daughter is renting from us. But the other one we've owned for about 11 years, and it has not went up in price at all. The real estate in Denver is rising quicker than the one that we own in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
So we probably wouldn't buy the one in Colorado Springs if we had it to do over, but the one in Denver has turned out to be a lot better investment.
And you live in Denver?
We live 65 miles west of Denver in a little town called Bailey, Colorado.
Okay, so neither one of them are considered really local for you. You couldn't go check on them tomorrow if you wanted to. You'd have to make a trip out of it.
The one in Lakewood, which is close to Denver, it's about 45 minutes, so it's not too far.
Okay.
The one in Colorado Springs is about an hour and a half, yes.
Okay. Any savings?
Yes, we have about $8,000 in savings. And then we have about $1,500 in our real estate account that we save for emergencies in case something goes wrong at one of the rental properties.
All right. So based on all that, what I would do is I would sell both the rental homes. And in order, if you only wanted to sell one of them, I'd do Colorado Springs first.
Okay.
I would sell them both. I'd pay off the primary. But first and foremost, you want to make sure you build up that emergency fund from $8,000. And you want to get that probably to about $20,000. Okay, 20, probably 20 to 30, 25. And you don't want to touch it. It's just there for emergencies.
Right.
Just keep it there.
Uh-huh.
Then you want to
okay.
Make sure that you're continuing to invest 15% in long-term mutual funds. So you want to do that. And then you want to make sure you pay off that primary. So now you're going to be sitting in that investment income of, I think you said 78.
Uh-huh.
And you're not going to have any bills.
Yeah.
And that's going to be odd. And you're not going to have any kind of weight or pressure on babysitting two properties that have no rental income. That's no fun. So now you can focus on each other and focus on life and focus on the future and have fun. I would just
and
remove
that's exactly what we want to do.
Yeah, and I would just remove all this all that's just minutiae in your life that's not necessary. So
okay.
I think that's what I like that plan. I like you getting rid of. I don't think you guys. I don't hear that you have a dying desire to be a landlord. So
right.
I'd get rid of them and I'd pay off that primary and build up that emergency
okay.
fund and you'll still have money left over. And I'd put it towards long-term mutual funds.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, if we just sold the one in Colorado Springs and we kept the other one since our daughter's living there,
mm-hmm.
should we use the proceeds from that to pay towards the balance that we owe on that condo or should we use that money then to invest in mutual funds or our emergency funds?
Yeah, just
what?
Good question. If you're selling the Colorado Springs one only, it goes in this uh-huh. order. Build up the emergency fund, pay off the primary, and the third thing you do is pay off the second rental, but in that order. Because
okay.
if something goes wrong with all your finances, you need a place to sleep first before that rental's paid off.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that's great. Well, I really appreciate you helping us with this.
All right. Thank you, Vicki. Well, folks, as we close, I want to remind you to make sure to save time and money this year by using an ELP in your area, an endorsed local provider. Go to stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP. Go to stewardship.com and click Find an ELP. Folks, it has been a pleasure. Until next time, let's manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.